your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 17. In your Scofield Bible, page 1100. 17th chapter of Luke. We'll be reading four verses here. We'll turn to yet another passage after this one. Luke chapter 17, beginning with the 22nd verse. We'll read through verse 25. We'll read these four verses responsively. The 22nd verse is a text verse, one of two text verses. And let's stand, please. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. Turn now to John chapter 12, the 12th chapter of John, in your Scofield Bible, page 1133, beginning with verse 32, we'll read through verse 35, and the 35th verse is our second text verse. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And let's pray. Father, in a sense, this day marks the end of a very, very busy week. A lot of folks are tired. And perhaps there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people who find it hard to be as alert as usual. We pray for an extra blessing of thy spirit, presence of thy power, the service so that that which should be accomplished in each individual heart and life will be accomplished. Help us to listen with purpose. Help us to wipe away the cobwebs and help us to have a wonderful insight into thy word, into the message tonight. As our preacher, especially with thy power, do a work, we pray, tonight, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read one verse to you again. I read it a while ago. You did not turn to it, but it's my text for the sermon. Very sobering one. It says, And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. He said, Fellas, you enjoy and savor what's going on. He said, The day is going to come when you shall desire to see just one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. I think you understand why I've entitled my sermon, Wake Up and Smell the Coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me as I speak tonight. May I so speak so as to add to the enjoyment, the richness of what we have here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe the day will come, or the day will come, when maybe these disciples would love to see just one more time one lame person take up his bed and walk. But they will not be able to do it. Maybe Jesus is saying here that they will come when you'd love to just see one more blind eye opened, one more deaf ear to hear, but you won't be able to do it. Maybe he's saying that they will come when you'd love to hear just one more sermon from the lips of the Savior, but he'll be gone and you won't be able to do it. Maybe he's talking about one more comforting word that the Savior spoke. Maybe they'd like to see just one more time the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe they have a hunger to relive just one time the conversion of Zacchaeus. Or a tremendous desire to see the opening of the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus said the day is going to come. And by the way, it came pretty quick-like. When you will desire to see just one. Listen to me, sailors. I'm preaching to you. One day of the Son of Man. Maybe they'd like to relive that wonderful experience at Sychar's well when the woman at the well received Christ. And went back into town and told the people, come see a man that told me all things I ever did. And many came from Sychar and were born again. Maybe the day will come when they'd love to see him once again gird himself with a towel and wash the disciples' feet in the upper room. Maybe the day's going to come when they'd love to hear him speak again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said the day is going to come. It won't be long till you will have a tremendous desire to have one day of what you're having many days of right now. Maybe the day's going to come and you'd just like to see the Savior walk on the water again. Maybe he said to his disciples, or they thought about it, maybe they'd like to just hear one little part of the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe the Beatitudes part, but one little part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is saying the day's going to come when maybe they'd like to just go back and relive the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Or that day when he calmed the storm and stilled the waves. Or when he spoke the parables. Or the day he called them out and chose them in Matthew chapter 10. Or his teaching them. The day's going to come, he said, when you'll say, if you could just touch me one more time. If one more time you could see his face. If one more time you could hear him preach. If one more time you could hear his voice, if one more time you could hear him sing, if one more time you could be in his presence. Jesus said, the days will come when ye shall desire to see just one of the days of the Son of Man. He's reminding them to savor every moment of it. He's reminding them to soak in every sermon. He's reminding them to hear carefully every word. He's reminding them to be aware every moment of what's going on. He's reminding them to marvel at every miracle. He's reminding them to absorb every soul that they see saved. And later on he said about the same thing when he said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light. He was that light. He was saying, I'll be gone after a while. You savor these victories, these sermons, these miracles, these mighty works of God. You savor them, for the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You listen to me carefully, young people. The days will come when you mark it down. The days will come when some of you teenagers barely pay attention. Got your mind on your girlfriend. or some of you college people that hide back behind the mezzanine, the back part of the mezzanine. You don't want to be anywhere near the front, even the mezzanine. Or you hide back in the corners, misbehave. One of those couples that sort of glances at each other. You haven't got the foggiest idea what's going on. You hear me tonight. The day will come when you will have an intense desire to one more time sit in this church and see what God does in this place. Days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. They're young couples here in this room. The day will come when you will desire that your children could just relive one Sunday that you enjoyed at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. The days will come when you will desire to see this building filled one more time. The day will come and you will desire, you folks that walk out during the invitation, I'd love to see you get saved more than anything in the whole world. The day will come when you will have an intense desire just to see one more Sunday morning or Sunday night invitation at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. The day will come when you shall desire just one Sunday like we had this morning and like we have every week. The day will come when you'd love to see just one more time dozens of people baptized in the same service. I mean, it's going to come. It's going to come. Ask the people who used to go to Moody Church when Ironside was over there. Ask the people who used to go to Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan when Dr. Beecham Vick was there. Ask the people who used to go to First Baptist Church in Fort Worth when Dr. J. Frank Norris was there. Ask the people who used to go over here to Paul Ritter's Tabernacle when Paul Ritter was alive. Ask the people who used to go to Spurgeon's Tabernacle when Spurgeon was alive. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the day is going to come when you'd love to see one invitation again at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Please forgive me for being a little vain, but the day is going to come and you'd give anything in the world to hear this man preach again. The day is going to come and you're going to say, if I could just hear, I've been getting ready for this sermon. I've been humming that song or singing it. If I could hear my mother pray again, how happy I would be. Would mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray again. Wouldn't I love to hear my old pastor preach again tonight? Wouldn't I love one more time to hear Dr. John Rice preach on prayer again? Wouldn't I love to hear Payday Someday preached again from this pulpit? Wouldn't I love to hear Lester Roloff preach Poem in the Valley once again from this pulpit? I'm saying the day is going to come when you'll have an intense desire to hear me preach one more time. The day is going to come when you'd love to just sit one time through one pastor's school. It's very appropriate that I preach this sermon tonight. Day is going to come when you'd give anything in the world to have a chance to come. But you're too busy watching the NCAA basketball game. You're too busy watching your dirty television programs at night. You haven't got time to come and hear a man quote the entire book of Revelation. You have to watch some horror from Hollywood. But you mark it down, the day is going to come when you'll wish under God you could sit one time in another pastor school service. The day will come when you'd love to one more time sit in the auditorium with 5,000 people on Wednesday night. The day is going to come and you'd like to, one more time, hear the amens in this church. Some of you people get bothered by them. You say, how do you feel about those folks who get bothered by all the amens? I feel wonderful about it. I think about that rich man we had in Texas in our church. We had a guy in our church named L.C. McCain, and he was always the first one up. L.C. McCain, his elevator didn't go to the top floor. In fact, there's nothing in the top floor. L.C. McCain wore a white sport coat all every time to church and a red tie. And the white sport coat hadn't been cleaned since Noah's cleaner cleaned it on the ark. It had egg on it from the hen that came off the ark. L.C. McCain was a good guy, but the cheese had fallen out of his sandwich. He never slept on the side. His brain fallen out on the pillow. But L.C. McCain had a lisp when he talked. He'd talk like this. Every time we'd have a testimony meeting, and back in the early days of our church was small, we'd have testimony meetings. Elsie McCain would get up and say the same thing. I want to thank the Lord, save my soul, lift me out of the mire clay, set my foot on solid rock, and establish my goings. Always said the same thing. I'd say, let's have a, who wants to testify for Jesus? Same old white coat with egg on it would get up. Elsie, I want to thank the Lord, save my soul, lift me out of the mire clay, set my foot on solid rock, and establish my goings. Every time. He's always the first one up. Always. One day to me, one of our rich men came. I mean, a fellow's a millionaire. He came and he said, I'm sick and tired. Most millionaires are sick and tired. And he said, I'm sick and tired of Elsie McCain. I bring my friends here, my business associates here. And I want them to hear you preach, but Elsie McCain embarrasses me. He said, every time you have a testimony, he jumps up first. I don't thank Lord, save my soul, lift me out of my clay, set my foot on fire rock, and Sabbath my going. He said, preacher, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And I said, so am I. So am I. I've got a plan to stop it. I've got a plan to see to it. He doesn't jump up first and start. I got, thank Lord, save my soul, lift me out of my clay, set my foot on fire rock, set my going. He said, good. I'm glad you got a plan. What's the plan? I said, next time, buddy, you beat him up. If I were you folks that don't like these shouters and ameners, you know what I'd do? I'd get them back. I'd jump up sometime and holler, and let them know how awful it is to have to sit by them. Okay, say what you want to say, but the day is going to come when you're going to have a formal worship service here and robes on this choir and a man, highbrow preacher standing up here giving, executing the Word of God. And you'd say, boy, I'd just love to hear old Blackwell stand up one more time and wave his hand. The day's going to come. It's going to come. Jesus said to his disciples, pay attention, fellas. The day's going to come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. The day's going to come when you'd love to fight for a seat again. Day is going to come and you'd love to have enough people here to where you'd have to throw away some coats to find a seat. And instead you griping like a bunch of heathen, what you ought to do is jump up and down and say, glory to God, we got a church that's filled every Sunday. Beat them up. I don't mean like that. I mean get them first. Day is going to come. And you'd love to just sit once again in the chapel of Howells Anderson College. Day's going to come and a bunch of liberals are going to have that school. Day's going to come and you'd give anything in the world. Have an old-fashioned preacher up there healing the dead, casting out the sick, and raising the devils again. Day's going to come and you'd love to, if I have to find a place to park somewhere around here. You ask the people, Spurgeon's Tabernacle, if they wouldn't love to have a parking lot that's filled again. You ask the people, Spurgeon's Tabernacle, their building used to seat 5,000, almost as much as this building seats. They cut it down to 1,700. Now they have about 300 in it. I'm sure they'd love to have the problem you had tonight as you complained trying to find a seat. Boy, may it always be true that it's hard to find a seat at the old church downtown. The day will come when you'd give anything in the world to see that choir walk in again. The day will come when you'd give anything in the world to see scores of deaf people sitting back there again. Hey, folks, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. So sit up straight and listen to every word. Listen carefully. Absorb every sermon. Watch carefully every person who walks the aisle. Savor every invitation. Savor every baptism. Don't miss any of pastor school. Look at the mass of buses. Stare at the cars. Wake up and smell the coffee. You're seeing at First Baptist Church of Hammond, what no one has ever seen in the history of the United States of America or in the history of the Western world. You're seeing it. And some of you gripe. What kind of idiot are you? You're seeing the largest crowds ever to assemble weekly in the history of the United States of America. You tonight are a part of the largest crowd tonight in the United States of America, anybody's church. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you sit in this auditorium where I'm saying, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and thank God. Wake up and have a spell. Wake up and shout. Wake up and praise God. Wake up and know what's going on. Wake up and realize it. Wake up and savor it. It's not going to be here always. More people baptized in this tank right here than any other tank in the history of the church. Greatest midweek service crowds in the history of the New Testament church. More people attend here. More people saved. More folks baptized than John Rice ever saw. Or Charles Spurgeon ever saw. Or Dwight Moody ever saw at Moody Church. Or R.G. Lee saw in Memphis, Tennessee. Or Charles G. Finney saw in New York City. Or John Wesley saw in London. Or Jonathan Edwards. Or J. Frank Norris in Fort Worth. Or Martin Luther. You understand what I'm saying? Someday, out yonder, a century from now, somebody is going to write a book about what happened at this church Sunday after Sunday. And they're going to talk about what was going on here, and you won't even know what's going on. You're too busy courting your girlfriend. You're too busy writing notes to your sweetheart. You're too busy hiding so you won't have to hear what's going on. Hey, wake up and smell the coffee! I was in Canada where the heathen live. You know those folks back there look an awful lot like human beings. Have you noticed? I was in Canada. Used to preach at the Jarvis Street Church there a couple times a year. Jarvis Street's a famous old church in Toronto, Canada. Famous T.T. Shields was pastor there. Probably one of the two or three most famous preachers in the history of Canada. Of course, T.T. Shields was gone before I ever started going there, but a lady walked up to me, and tears streamed down her cheeks. She had white hair, stooped shoulders, she's up in years, probably real old, 69 or so. And she said, and some of you folks sleeping right now, right now, sleeping. Hey, wake up and smell the coffee! Sleeping through history. This lady walked up and she said, Dr. Hiles, if I could just hear T.T. Shields preach one more sermon. A man from Moody Church came to visit our church years ago. He was there when Dr. Ironside was there. He said to me, I'd give any amount of money to see Dr. Ironside walk on the platform one more time. And just to hear him preach one more sermon with that 4,000 seat Moody Church auditorium packed like it was when he was there. I was in Fort Worth. Man walked up to me and he said, I was here when J. Frank Norris was here. I've seen this 3,000 seat building packed Sunday morning and Sunday night. I've seen revival. If I could just one more time sit in the service where J. Frank Norris preached, I'd give most anything. Ma Sunday told me she lived to be way up in her 90s. I knew her well. Ma Sunday sat one day and wept in my study as she said, if I could just one more time enjoy Billy in one more tabernacle campaign. Wake up and smell the coffee. If you're going to walk out while I'm preaching, don't walk in.
Wake up and smell the coffee. Something going on here. A former member of Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, said to me, and I'm quoting this, Dr. Vick, G.B. Vick, was my pastor. We used to run 5,000 in Sunday school. Largest, at that time, the world's largest Sunday school. This member of that church said, Dr. Hiles, I'd give my right arm, I'm quoting, I'd give my right arm, I believe, if I could see Dr. Vick walk through the door one more time and see this building packed like it used to be when he was here. Member of Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga said to me, I do not know how much money I would give to see Dr. Lee Robertson walk in the door one more time and sit down as pastor of this church. I was preaching in Toronto, Canada, years ago at the People's Church when I would go there and they would have me. And somebody said to me, I was a member of this church when Dr. Oswald Smith, the famous old Dr. Oswald Smith, was the pastor. Oh, for one more time, just to sit in a service like we used to have. Mrs. John Rice said to me one time, if I could feel Dr. John R.'s hand one more time on mine. Just one more time. Ma Sunday said to me, if I could just hear Billy say, I love you, Ma. One more time. Now you listen to me, folks. While you got that mother, you love her. And you be good to her. While you got that father, you love him and be good to him. And while you've got this church, you thank God for it. Somebody a few years ago said, I'm going to leave First Baptist because I want to go somewhere with more social life. Well, trot all over there. It's not a country club, it's a church. This is no party place, it's a preaching place. This is no drama place, it's a preaching place. Jesus said the day will come when you'd love to have one more day of the days you have now. And the day will come when you'd give anything to have what you have now. Enjoy it, savor it, stay awake, live it up, realize what's going on. Come with me to Spurgeon's Tabernacle tonight. Walk inside that auditorium as Mrs. House and I did years ago. And see that 5,000 seat auditorium cut down to 1,700 and ask one of the staff members, how many do you have now? They said, on a good Sunday morning, we have 300, not near that many on Sunday night. Come with me to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Lynn G. Broughton used to pastor. He's the fellow I tell you about that was having a debate one time. I see a young lady back there asleep right now. Give anything in the world one of these days to wake up and listen to Brother House preach a sermon. Lean up against the pew back there, like she's having a slumber party. Wake up and smell the coffee. This Metropolitan Church, Lynn G. Broughton was pat. He was a little fellow weighed 100 pounds. Was having a debate one night with a fellow named Smith, and the fellow named Smith jumped up and said, you little runt, I ought to chew you up and swallow you. Lynn G. Broughton said, if you did, you'd have more brains in your stomach than you do in your head. That big auditorium, main floor and double balcony, Metropolitan Tabernacle, right downtown, a block or two off the famous Peachtree Street in Atlanta, Georgia. It was packed and jammed. Several years ago, when I was a younger man, they wanted me to come down and be pastor of that church. They contacted me, and I wasn't interested, but I was preaching in Atlanta, and I went to the auditorium. The entire top balcony, dusty, roped off. The entire first balcony, dusty, roped off. That section roped off. That section roped off. That section roped off. These two sections right here are all they used. That roped off. That roped off. That roped off. Both balconies roped off. Dusty and dingy. And they said, we don't have enough to fill up the two center sections anymore. I'll guarantee you, those people that were sitting there would give anything in the world to have Lynn G. Broughton back and the building filled one more time. Wake up and smell the coffee. Come with me trip we took to the Middle East, and we stopped in London on a rainy night. We went in the old church where G. Campbell Morgan used to pastor, the Westminster Church. Listen carefully. 100 people that night, and 64 of them were in our group. 36 people in that auditorium, 4,000-seat auditorium on a Sunday night. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. If we don't appreciate what we have, that'll happen right here at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana someday. And if we don't fight to keep what we have and appreciate what we have, God owes us nothing. You who casually decide whether or not to come to church, wake up and smell the coffee. You walk out before the invitation. I want to park on this for a while. You folks that don't give a flip about the souls of men. Not a flip. If the Cubs play extra innings, you'll stay there and watch them. If the Bulls play in overtime, you'll stay there and watch it. You haven't got one bit of concern about heaven or hell. People walking down this aisle, getting born again, being saved from the torments of hell, and saved to a home in heaven forever, and you don't give a flip. All you want to do is get to the restaurant before somebody else, or get to your baby in the nursery before somebody else does, or get to your car before somebody else does. I'm saying, wake up and smell the coffee. Something's going on around here. You folks that walk out during the invitation, walk out before the invitation. You don't care if the whole world goes to hell or not. You've been to church on a Sunday. You don't care. You've paid your dues. You satisfied your conscience. But let me tell you something, my precious friend. You hear me carefully. You folks that sit back in the back that casually walk out those doors on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, you're an invitation. Let me tell you something. There is not a more important meeting going on in all the universe than goes on right here when this book is preached from across this pulpit. Wake up and smell the coffee. You folks that don't come back on Wednesday night, wake up and smell the coffee. You folks that don't tithe and don't even have a financial investment in the greatest work in the history of America, wake up and smell the coffee. You folks that casually listen, never get excited, wake up and smell the coffee. A lot of you folks never see anybody baptized, wake up and smell the coffee. Don't join those people who slept in Gethsemane. When Jesus came and said, fellows, don't you know what's happening? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Our Lord Jesus said, wake up and smell the coffee. Don't join that crowd of people about whom the Lord spoke when he said, you're at ease in Zion. Wake up and smell the coffee. Don't join the Israelites who said, we're tired of this manna. Want to go back to Egypt, eat the light bread of Egypt. Wake up and smell the coffee. Don't join that crowd of Ephesus where Jesus said, you neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert hot or cold. Because you neither hot or cold, I'll spew out of my mouth. Don't belong to that crowd. Wake up and smell the coffee. Don't join Thomas who missed the meeting in the upper room. Wake up and smell the coffee. Old illustration. Used it years ago. Haven't used it for some time. I was in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Arkansas, a little town right beside Fayetteville, Arkansas. Dr. Rice and I were there years ago. Had a book table out in the front. I don't sell my books, my meetings anymore. But Dr. Rice did, so I did, and I was out in the book table before the service started on Monday night. A little lady walked up and said, Dr. Hiles, could I work at your book table? I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, we already have 3 ladies, don't need any more, don't have room for any more. She said, could my husband and I take you out to eat breakfast tomorrow morning? And I said, I'm very, very sorry. But I don't eat breakfast out in the mornings. I eat breakfast out in the afternoon. Anyway, she said, could we take you out for lunch tomorrow? And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but we have a meeting of pastors at lunch tomorrow. Well, how about after the service one night? I said, I don't go out after the service to eat at all. I go back to my room and go to work. She put her head like this. She began to beat the table in the vestibule like that. And I said, ma'am, what's the deal? Why is it that you and your husband simply have to spend some time with me? She said, don't you know who we are? And I said, no. She said, we were members of your church in Garland, Texas, years ago. She said, we got upset with you. And we left your church and went over and joined the Second Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. She said, it's the biggest mistake we ever made in our lives. She said, we had no idea that someday you'd pastor the largest church in the world. She said, why didn't you tell us? And I said, you didn't ask me. She said, just to think, you listen. She said, just to think, we could have had a part in your ministry. But we left you, and we could have had a part in your ministry. I was preaching in Fort Worth. Lady walked up and she said, Brother Hiles, remember the days of Miller Road Baptist in Garland? She said, I remember Beat the Devil Sunday. We were running about 400 in Sunday school. We decided to beat the devil. Tried to have 667, beat his number 666. I got about 15 devil's outfits and put them on about 15 of my men. They walked down the shopping centers all week long and told people not to go to Miller Road Baptist Church. They'd say, I hate that church. I hate that church. Don't go there. We had devils out in the parking lot on Sunday morning saying, folks, don't stay here. Go down to First Methodist Church downtown. We had more folks mad at us, but we beat the devil. Had 952 in Sunday school that Sunday. She said, oh, if I could just relive those days again. She said, remember the house when you baptized in the creek one time on old-fashioned day? Remember how you baptized out there and you started to walk out of the creek? And Miss Howell said, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. I thought, well, what's the deal? What's the deal? She said, go back in the creek, go back in the creek. I looked down, my polka dot shorts were showing through my summer suit. She said, remember, Brother Hiles, the day we had a big tent set up? Had 3,163 under the tent and then cleaned out the tent and had a barbecue. Remember how that right in the middle of your sermon, all of a sudden, the back row of the choir fell off behind the choir loft? She said, Brother Hiles, if I could just relive it. A year ago this past week, we brought some of the people that have influenced my life in churches, other churches. A little secretary of mine, Joe Strickland Mathis, was my secretary in Garland. Tears in her eyes, she said to me, oh, for just one more day of the 1950s. Just one more day of the 1950s. My good friend and deacon chairman of Texas, F.P. Nall, and his brother Carl, who since has gone to heaven, said, Brother Hiles, if we just had one more day of the old Miller Road days, just one more day. Now, I want to say this. It's going to come quicker than you think. And by the way, it could come any week. Mrs. Stark was taken. One by one, the people that are here when I came are passing on, going to heaven. And one of these days, all of us old codgers are going to be gone. I trust and believe for a long time this church is going to be a great church. But it doesn't matter. The day is going to come before long when you're going to say, you that don't much care now. And it's usually those that do the least that after a while talk about the great days we used to have. Jesus said, savor it. He said, savor it. He said, in one place, he said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. We have the baton tonight. We carry it. This is the Spurgeon's Tabernacle of this generation. This is the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth of this generation. This is the Highland Park Baptist Church of Chattanooga of this generation. This is the Temple Baptist Church of Detroit of this generation. It's bigger than any of them, or any two of them put together. Now, while we have it, let's run with it. Let's give it our best, for the day will come. when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Reckon you ought not to get to work. Wake up and smell the coffee, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee, spectators only. Wake up and smell the coffee, those that don't care much about the preaching. Wake up and smell the coffee, those that walk out during the invitation. Wake up and smell the coffee, those of you that flippantly move somewhere else when right here history's going on. Wake up and smell the coffee. Our Heavenly Father, I don't preach like this often, but every once in a while I need to remind the people, while we have it, to savor it. While this heavenly Shekinah rests over this place, to enjoy it, savor it, love it. While this glory fills the house of God, help us, oh my God, to realize what's going on. Help us not to whitewash the tombstones of people that we killed. Help us not to honor the same, honor the dead, crucify their kind. But help us while we have it to realize what's here.